Keith Richards, Happy. And this song makes me happy. Are the Rolling Stones supposed to have a new album out this year? It's only been 11 years since their last Bigger Bang. They're supposed to have a new album. Where is it? Where is it? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I am learning a lot about autism tonight. And we are speaking with Tawny Cullen, the author of Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. And Josiah Cullen, diagnosed with extreme autism, nonverbal, then suddenly began communicating through an iPad and communicating remarkably well, talking about things spiritual. Let me give an example here. I am not listening to lies, I am kissing the skies. Josiah Cullen wrote that. Maybe he's now channeling Bob Dylan. I don't know. That's a great rhyme. Anyway, we'll get back to our conversation with Tawny Cullen and your calls, questions, and comments as well when Coast to Coast continues right after this. In the fall of 2012, 7-year-old Josiah, who suffers from extreme autism, experienced a shocking communication breakthrough on the iPad. And here to tell us the story is his mother, Tawny Cullen, author of Josiah's Fire. I'm guessing at this point then, the iPad goes everywhere Josiah goes. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, actually we use my iPad a lot because his iPad has all sorts of fun buttons and fun games on it. So a lot of times we'll use my iPad in communicating because otherwise he wants to just go play.
he starts delivering messages that come from someone named Auntie. Tell me about Auntie.
Yeah, well, you know, that actually happened the first night of the communication breakthrough. I'm like, how are you knowing this? What's going on? And he types out A-U, and of course I'm expecting he's going to type autism. And he types, Auntie told an angel to tell me. And I'm like, Auntie, Auntie, by the way, is someone that lived with us when I was growing up. And my mom kind of inherited her, actually. She had never married. And she ends up living with us, and she dies when I'm 15 years old. She lives to age 89. I had never talked about Auntie around Josiah. I never showed him pictures of Auntie. I mean, just very many years separated from the reality of Auntie in my life and what Josiah is talking about. So this is a shocking statement to me.
So Auntie is sort of the facilitator? She's the go-between?
No, I wouldn't say that. You know, I think it's really important to read in the book how this is playing out, because it's not like clairvoyance. It's not like a medium, it's not like any of that. It's very much a lot more like prophetic. It's a lot more like he's hearing and seeing things in the spirit that we can't necessarily all hear or see. And it's not like he's communicating with dead people or something in that way. It's very interesting if you read it in the book how it plays out, but it's kind of difficult to encapsulate phone.
Right, I understand. At a certain point, you took Josiah to a play, Beauty and the Beast. It's a sensory friendly performance. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so actually Joe had learned about what's called a sensory-friendly performance, which is there was a local high school that was doing Beauty and the Beast, but for kids like Josiah that had autism or special needs, and they adjust and adapt and, of course, understand that there might be, you know, noise and that sort of thing. So it was his first play to be going to.
And he's at this point, after he sees the play or during the play, he starts churning out, pages after page after page. What's going on here?
Well, it's amazing because he ends up, before he even goes to the play, he starts asking me questions because I'm going to be going to a conference. He's going to a play with Daddy. He starts asking me questions about this play and describing things that sound a lot like, I hadn't watched, the movie or anything of Beauty and the Beast in years. But he's asking about the beast and he's asking about these different things. But I'm going, you've never seen this. Like, how do you know this? And it was like he had seen things before he even went. And then it was just fascinating because on the other side of it, he shares this entire commentary about Beauty and the Beast that is absolutely so profound, that really speaks to Joe and I and actually helps us in our relationship and in our marriage and in really our identity in Christ.
So he's drawing spiritual parallels
Yes.
with the play, with the story of Beauty and the Beast.
Exactly.
And he's never seen the play before.
No, well, at that point, on the other side of it, so there was some stuff before it, but then on the other side of it, he's writing all this stuff about it, and I didn't go to the play with them, so I say to my husband, can we like get a hold of this movie? We're looking around at the thrift stores trying to find this thing, and we're watching it, and I'm looking at all this stuff he wrote about it, and we're watching this, and we're going, oh my goodness, that's what happens. I mean, it was absolutely.
You're cutting in and out a little bit,
Yeah, I'm not sure why someone's trying
Tawny.
to call me in the middle of the
All right, let's go west of the Rockies, and Lori is joining us from Redding, California. Good morning, Lori. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning, everyone. What an inspirational story. I'm a clinician therapist and have had some experience with the diagnosis many, many years ago. And recently, I was reintroduced with the film that's been put out with Robert De Niro, his son having autism diagnosis. And the movie is a documentary about the CDC knowing for many, many years that the MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, directly is linked to, especially boys, having this toxicity and damage to their immune system. So I'm not sure if you're aware of some of the components of that because it sometimes goes along with allergies, ADHD, asthma, seizures. Oh, just a variety of things, and I'm kind of curious if you said you're doing quite a bit of research, and if you've had any exposure that many people now are not even using the word autism, they're using the word vaccine injured.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that. And of course, when you enter into something like this, you are really wondering what's going on with your child. And I threw myself into a lot of research, and am very, very familiar with the vaccine debate. I'm familiar with the documentary Vax. I saw the documentary Vax. It's not part of the message that I'm purveying in the book, but certainly I will say as a mother, I am very well versed in what the arguments are, and I think that it's very important that people look into, instead of just taking things at face value and just hearing things, what the media says, what wants to be pushed out there, I think it's very important to look at all of the conversation that is around this topic and not to rule things out that actually have not been decided. So
Well
yeah, and
put, well put. And Lori, I appreciate this being brought up at the beginning, and it's sort of been addressed now, because I certainly didn't imagine this sort of evolving or devolving, what have you, into a discussion about possible links between the MMR vaccine and autism. Not that I'm trying to shut down that conversation, but as Atani said, that's not really what she's here to talk about. I think the spiritual communication that's going on here with young Josiah is really what the story is all about. However, did you want to add one more point, Lori, before we move along?
I'm curious about the iPad connection, because that seemed to, as you were mentioning, gosh, is this young boy having some channeling guardian angel, a soul, benign entity? There's this whole other component, because you still have, you know, a child that's going to develop with whatever their unique metabolism is, or whatever you've done for supplements, or you talked about nutrition earlier, Tawny. And so I'm just kind of curious, because, you know, everyone's going to have their unique presentation and their unique experience. And so it sounds like you've done a lot, you and your husband. And I'm just kind of more curious on what this iPad did as a portal, I guess is the question.
Good question, Lori. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm not really that well versed in things like portals and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. You know, as we were venturing more into this, I was talking with someone who is a psychologist and who used to work with Josiah previous to all this that happened. And Josiah knew things about her that we didn't know, you know, very specific things, and that's kind of talked about a bit in the book. One of the things that she brings up, and it's kind of at the end of the book, is she's like, I think he's an indigo child. And she's like, you need to watch this documentary. And I'm watching it, and you know, it's kind of interesting conversation and words and vocabulary around some of the phenomenons that can go on, I guess, with children that are, you know, deemed highly sensitive or in tune or on a frequency or whatever that is. And so it's kind of interesting how Josiah responds to that. I would say that our book is very much connected with a very strong biblical umbilical cord. So how God expresses through Josiah, I would say, has much more of biblical Christian vocabulary than the kind of a New Age vocabulary. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Lori. First-time caller Carol is in Roxboro, North Carolina. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. God bless you, Lori. I was 45 to 50 years ago, I used to work with autistic children, and I've seen several children and a grown autistic man suddenly change their behavior to knowing things. In the case of a third grade child, it was, I think, because we had his parents remove him from eating things that had food coloring and preservatives and gluten in it and put it on mega doses of vitamins. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that in the beginning of the broadcast, that we've done a whole lot of special diets and biomedical type treatments
right.
with, you know, not a lot of success, you know,
right.
little things that help with maybe digestion and you know, with some things where he was, you know, able to maybe function a little clearer, but, you know, what we were looking for was speech, what we were looking for was attention, and we just really didn't get that.
Yeah, it does seem that the causation is diverse causes. There was a man in his 30s in Boston whose mother had spent her life trying to help him, and she finally found out that putting earphones on him and blocking out certain sounds helped him. It turned out that these certain sounds were affecting his being able to respond to things. So it's certainly a lot of diversity of what causes these things. God bless
yes,
you.
Yes, and it's extremely interesting. Any parent who has a child with autism will probably get barraged with every kind of, you know, I saw this article, I saw this thing, you know. A lot
right.
of times you really have to just research a lot of stuff for yourself. A lot of trial and error, no silver bullet.
Thanks for that, Carol. When did you start publishing Josiah's words on Facebook? And how did you arrive at that decision?
Well, it was the strangest thing, because he's sharing all this stuff, and it's just so rich, and I'm, you know, talking with my mom about it. I'm talking with, you know, a handful of close friends about it. Certainly, you know, Joe's experiencing this. He's understanding, and we're pondering a lot of things in our hearts, really, in silence. Josiah writes to me, though. He says, I find it nutty that I tell you all these quotes, but you never put them on Facebook. And first of all, I'm going, I don't even know how you know what Facebook is. But secondly, people think I'm crazy. Like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean, you know? And so anyway, what ends up happening is I create a Facebook page, and, you know, my mom might look at it or something, and some friends. But it's called Josiah's Fire, and really people from all over the world now are kind of dialing in, and almost every day there's some new, fresh insights, beautiful quotes and poetry that, you know, really are connected to the heart of God. I really think that you'll find this language of heaven that is not cliche, but round, it just rings true.
And here's something that Josiah wrote that I've been sort of carrying around in my brain for the last couple of days, and I want to share it with people, and I want you to tell me, you know, sort of the genesis of this passage and what you think it means. Josiah writes, "A round pearl is troubling to you only if trouble does not leave your shell in beauty." I mean, it's beautiful prose, but I'm still grappling with what it means.
Sure. Well, I think that the idea there is, you know, you think of how a pearl is created, like a irritation, you know, inside that oyster, and this irritation, this thing that is difficult, this thing that is ugly, this thing that is like, I don't want this, creates this most beautiful pearl. But unless that pearl comes out of the shell, is that pearl really going to, I guess, have the potential that it's supposed to have? He writes a lot about those kind of things where it's like really reflective, I think, of the things that he wrestled with. You know, he wrote this beautiful kind of like children's story about being a little boy in a tin suit and wanting to break out of this tin suit that he's in.
How old was he when he wrote about this pearl? Do you recall?
That was probably 9.
Wow. Profound. I mean, so profound.
Yes, there are just so many very profound things that he writes. They're beautiful. As his mother, as a Christ follower, I'll tell you, like, my love relationship with Jesus has so increased because of the perspective shift of just, wow, this is beauty. This is something I can pick up my Bible and just read it with new goggles because it feels so much closer, I guess. God feels so much closer with this experience that, you know, we're having. And I think that what it says to me is, I think we all need to realize that God's closer than we think.
We will continue this discussion and take more questions and comments for Tawny Cullen. Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. Here's Dr. John and Such a Night taking us into the break here on Coast to Coast AM. I must say, this is, without a doubt, the most inspiring story I've ever been privileged to be a part of here on Coast or anywhere else for that matter. We are speaking with Tawny Cullen, the author of Josiah's Fire. Her autistic child, Josiah, incredible communications through his iPad from the beyond, from heaven, from the angelic realm, from Jesus. You'll have to decide for yourselves where these communications are coming from. Someone earlier, I think on the phone, suggested, well, perhaps Josiah is an indigo child. In one of the chapters in the book, Tawny recounts how she was called from a friend or a colleague named Kim, also suggesting, well, maybe Josiah is an indigo child. That's a term we hear quite a bit on Coast to Coast. Tawny says, actually, that that term kind of makes her cringe, words like telepathic, clairvoyant, because she believes Josiah's experiences are coming from God and his kingdom of light, not from some psychic realm. And I guess she put that question to Josiah, are you an indigo child? And he wrote on his iPad, nope, natural Kim is nice to ring you up to chat. Keep in mind, this is from an 8-9-year-old. My sullen millisecond mind mounts to say natural nope to my label of indigo, loud nope. Yes, Josiah is a brilliant mouthpiece of God. I am not an indigo. I am average. I am average boy named to a loud mission to make God real. Bearing his name, I will serve him all my life. My loud bullies will know my name because they fear my mind out life. Just might work life, my king loudly wants it to work. Love would ring in the streets, music would feel again. Lack would salivate for major newness of life. Moping would turn to joy. My name is Josiah. My mom is a pastor. My dad is a producer. My dog is a peacemaker. Each day I am named as God's fire. Fire is carefully named to heat up, to destroy dead ground, to liven up radical change, to help make natural answers seem clear. Fire names gold as heated jewelry, silver as heated weapons, pottery as ware for portable goods. No need to label me as indigo or heaven's valuable messenger or thinking poet or named boy prophet. I am just lit up by his fire. My life will need him in it all of my days. Josiah Cullen. We'll be right back. Tawny, give us an update on Josiah's development in terms, I mean, we have these remarkable passages that he's writing on the iPad, but what about in other areas? For example, is he able to read, or, you know, how is he doing in other areas of sort of academia?
Sure. First of all, it seems that there's somebody trying to intercept my phone line that is an unknown caller. So I think they're not really excited about what I'm talking about or something. So I'm sorry if I cut in and out. Praise God. This will go out on the airwaves no matter what.
That's right. No stopping you now.
So, so Josiah, you know, we continue to have struggles with the brain-body connection a lot. He's in a school that has been a really, really great find for him now. You know, we're working with his teachers. They're aware of, you know, these not necessarily like the depth of the spiritual stuff, but definitely we're working back and forth with communication. We're trying to build bridges to be able to, you know, help him communicate better at school in a more free flow way. And he's a much less frustrated little boy. He's trying new things, trying new foods. We're going places. It's exciting because our lives are kind of coming out of that prison of not being able to go a lot of places because of what might have been like meltdown or anything like that. And we're getting to be able to, you know, really enjoy and go to museums and go to movies and go to plays. And that's been a really beautiful thing for our family to experience, just new freedoms.
And I get the sense that Josiah has sort of assumed the role of your husband Joe's spiritual advisor.
Well, you know, definitely our family has, you know, you grab onto the rope of hope, and it doesn't mean that we're have any more faith than anybody else or anything like that. But it's like when you're experiencing these things, you just can't help but obviously know that we just got to keep turning to God. Even if we have to trip in his direction, we just keep trying to bring our cares before him, and we have just a whole lot more hope for the future.
Let's say hello to Brad west of the Rockies. He's in Angels Camp, California. Brad, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning. when you had mentioned some of his writing as prose, it struck me, I wanted to ask if Tani had tried interfacing with anything musical to see if, you know, if he could, like, sing.
Yeah, that's a really great question. In fact, there's a chapter in the book about our music therapy experience. And yes, he's extremely musical. He tinkers with music. He listens to, he loves to write lyrics, you know, that sort of thing. Our music therapy experience was difficult in that he didn't really want to settle down and settle in, but we hope to try it again.
So you cut out that last little bit there.
My mother was originally a concert pianist, and then she was a piano teacher in our house. And ultimately, sometime after, you know, my brother and I had moved out, she started volunteering to teach autistic kids piano. And I know from some of my research that sometimes you can get people, you know, people with disabilities out of their shell and talking sometimes by getting them to sing.
Absolutely. Yes,
and
that's definitely something
some
that we've...
people that have, like, Tourette's or something like that,
yeah.
And or stuttering. They don't stutter if they sing.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I really think that music will play a large part as time goes on.
Well, I don't know. Could
it unfold with Josiah?
Could Josiah possibly be any further out of his shell? I mean, you know, read what he is writing. It's just phenomenal. It's great, you know, people are offering suggestions and so forth, but it's almost like the message here is being lost. I mean, the communication here that's going on, and where is this communication coming from? The heavenly realm. Does he describe what angels look like? Or has he described what angels
yes.
look like?
Yeah, there's a bit in the book about angels. You know, we had an experience where one of the experiences, we were actually at a McDonald's, and I'm sitting there and trying to feed him his hamburger, and he keeps staring off toward the wall. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, what are you looking at? And it's just so strange for a child with autism to have that kind of, like, fixed gaze on something, you know, like that. And he goes on to type to me that he's seeing an angel over there. And I'm like, okay, is it saying anything or what? And he types, the band is playing. It is life. It is truth. Ponder the truth. Lies are dangerous. Lies are broken at the spiritual level. Nurture trustworthy possibilities. Trouts are tuned to swim upstream, not downstream. It is cold now, but living underwater is teeming with life, even though you can't see it. I present truth beneath the surface. Ice doesn't mean death. More life is on the way, like in trout season. Go upstream to the origin of kuds, to the upstream songs, where the rock of ages piles up stones of truth. Come upstream to reproduce.
Wow.
We're sitting there in McDonald's, and he's sharing this, and I'm just like, this holy sense of awe comes over me in the most mundane place, you know what I mean? And I'm just shocked. I'm humbled to the floor. I'm amazed at this. And then you have questions like, I thought salmon swim upstream, not trout. And then, you know, it's like, I'll go, I'm like, do trout swim upstream? Yes, trout do swim upstream. You know, I mean,
Yes,
that's
indeed.
kind of how these breadcrumbs will, it's like there's these breadcrumbs that I start following, and it's really engaged my study and spiritual journey in such a profound way. Even the idea of stones of truth, you know, that phraseology is just so interesting. And I was looking into that, and even, you know, there's Jewish symbolism there that's like a stone represented truth. So like if you think about that, it even puts a whole new spin on, say, the David and Goliath story. Not only did David throw a stone at a giant, he threw truth at a giant.
Right. Boy, I wish Josiah had written the sermons for the pastor at the United Church where I grew up. I may have paid more attention. I know I would have paid more attention. Victoria is in Seattle, Washington. Victoria, good morning. Victoria, going once?
Yes.
Are you there, Victoria?
Yes.
Ah, welcome aboard. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I just, I know that this isn't a show about cures and stuff like that. I'm a Christian as well. I find her story amazing, and I'm glad I gave her her faith back, because now is not the time to not have faith. But I just wondered if she had ever heard of GCMAF. It's kind of the ingredient that a lot of holistic doctors are probably being murdered behind, and it's supposed to really help with autism. It counteracts whatever vaccines cause, for example.
You know, I'm certainly familiar with a lot of research.
All right, Victoria, I appreciate the call, and thank you. Dare I ask how you view autism now? Is it even conceivable that you may look at this as a gift?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I've had people ask me, you know, well, everything that's happened, would you, if you could take that away and he could start talking tomorrow, would you? And, you know, I've wrestled with that. Here's the deal. I think that the limitations of autism, the difficulties of autism, are one thing. And then there's the thing where there's a scripture in the Bible that says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And how you're going to use them and how you're going to put them to work and how it's made up into your destiny and design, that might kind of be between you and God, you know? And so I really still am praying for and believing for Josiah's healing. I'm praying that when he walks out of autism, that's not to say or to in any way diminish people who have autism and embrace that as something that, you know, neurodiversity or their identity or anything like that. I don't ever want people to feel like I'm saying that at all. Basically, what I think is, and what Josiah really communicated is, you know, what are limits off of you? That's God's heart, is like limits off. As you even go through these trials, it's bringing you closer to your design and destiny. And just stay close to my heart. Don't fear. Don't lose hope. And it's a perspective shift, and I really think that we are in a time where what our heart is facing is a war between, are we going to believe the doctor's report? Are we going to believe the labels? Are we going to believe the financial report? Whatever the bad report is of man, or are we going to believe the report of the Lord over our lives? And that is the war that we are in. And that is very pronounced to me. So these days, I will constantly be asking, Lord, what do you say about it?
I was just going to say, it seems to me like Josiah is the one doing the healing.
Definitely, I've experienced, and Joe's experienced, a whole lot of healing that through this experience, in inner healing, wounds that certainly came through the autism journey, but wounds that might have even been there that we didn't even realize were there.
I want to work in Michael from absolutely. I want to work in Michael from York, Pennsylvania, very quickly here. Michael, welcome aboard, and We've just got a couple minutes here, so
sure.
Say hello to Tawny Cullen.
Oh, good morning. I'm a son of an autistic, or I'm a father of an autistic son, and the one thing I've noticed as he's grown up is that they really are sponges, and it's hard to understand their innate intelligence until you give them the right medium. For my son, it's always been art and music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered the possibility that, you know, he is, intellectually gifted, and you found the right medium to sort of tap into that, and he's sort of just a product of his environment, that he's around the teachings of the church and your family, and you're sort of only really seeing this brilliance now?
Sure. That's a really great question. I think the thing is that these are things that I don't know. These aren't things that we're talking about. These aren't things that we're, you know, there's just a lot of things that come forward. He's not around. He's not reading. He's not listening to profound things, things that he knows even maybe about other people that kind of have a prophetic bend. So, you know, I invite the readers to do what I had to do and say, where is this coming from? Is this coming from God's kingdom? Could this be coming from the kingdom of darkness in some way? Could this be coming from Tawny's own, you know, subconscious somehow being communicated on some wavelength? Where is this coming from? I want people to wrestle with that. I had to wrestle with that. What I've come to is I think this looks a lot like the God of the Bible, and that's what my experience has been.
Well, Tawny, let me go on the record as saying I'm on the same page with you on that. Thank you so much for this incredibly inspiring story and faith-affirming story, certainly for me. Thank you, Tawny.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Josiah's fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Dan Galati, Tom Danheiser, Chris Burrows, Sean Latosaur, Nathan Staten, Donna Walker, and here in Toronto, Nathan Smith, Scott Guest, and Alyona Kravtsova. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until next time.